next month, you're going to be having your mission emphasis month. The pastor already announced about missionaries that are going to be coming in. And they're going to be telling you about what God has been doing in their lives and in their ministry. And that'll be a great encouragement to you. Because you pray for them, you give towards their ministry, and you might even be looking at some other missionaries to support. You have a map on the back wall, a map of the world. And you have a mission slogan at the top, supporting gospel carriers, breaking sin barriers. What a slogan. And then you have a list of ministries and missionaries around the world that you are supporting. And I don't know how much your faith promise, your mission giving is on an annual basis. But no matter what that is, God can use that and multiply that and make that something great and wonderful. And so as you are endeavoring to reach the people in your city, in your town, in your neighboring city, in your state, in your neighboring state, in your country, in neighboring countries, on this continent, and all of the other continents around the world, you are expanding. And you are asking God, God, would you bless? Would you bless as we give? Would you bless as we pray? Would you bless as we go? Wednesday night I was at Brother Prettyman's church and gave a testimony. And I didn't know, I mean, I've met many of the people before, but I didn't know how God was dealing in the hearts of the people there. We need a missionary family that will go to Kurdistan, that will go to Erbil, Kurdistan. It's wide open. Anybody can go there as a missionary. There is not one single missionary family in Kurdistan. It's a large area. And we need a missionary family. After the service, a fellow came up to me and he said, Brother Ziner, I'm finishing up my studies and I'm thinking about going to Baptist Bible Translators down in Bowie, Texas, and preparing for the mission field. I'd like to pray about that place. That's all I ask. Would you at least pray about going to that place? Now, it's going to take some great preparation on his part. It's going to take some endeavor. It's going to take some time. But 20 years from now, if Jesus tarries His coming, there'll be a family that maybe has been there 15 years laboring and working in that place. So the object and the goal of the church is to expand and send out missionaries and send out prayer support around this world as you pray for your church and its needs, then you're praying for those around the world also that God's power would not be hindered. And that God would empower our missionaries to do a supernatural work that they cannot do in their own strength and in their own ability. If you build this church in your own strength and in your own ability, you will accomplish some things. And somebody will probably stand back and say, wow, look what we did. But I hope and pray that as you build this in God's strength and in His power, there will be people around the world that will say, wow, that church impacted me. That church had an influence on me. And only by God that will take place. Amen? Now there's some things that you're going to have to do. Have you ever tried to overcome something and you couldn't do it? How many of us have done that? My hand is raised. I have done it in my lifetime probably hundreds if not thousands of times. And tried and couldn't overcome something. Now, I thought we were overcomers. The Bible says that we're overcomers. And the Bible says that we should be able to overcome. But you like me, and me like you, we have failed in some areas. And have you ever asked yourself the question, why? any pastor who has been in the ministry for some time have always had people sitting before them in counseling sessions that have said to the pastor, I just can't get over this sin. Connie's adopted brother, my wife's adopted brother, Billy Bauer, at his mother's funeral, I said, Billy, are you saved? Yeah, Steve, I know I'm saved. But your life is an absolute disaster. And you know that your mother prayed for you and sacrificed for you. And the tears flew down his cheeks. And he said, I know. But he said, I just can't overcome. Now, why? I want to talk to you about that this morning. Because we have some obstacles that we have to overcome. Now, think. Don't speak out loud. But think in your mind, in your heart. Are there some obstacles or are there some things in your life that you've just not been able to overcome? We have a mat back there. Are we going to be able to overcome some things when God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? And we think, wow, I don't think so. I want to, but I just don't think we can do that. Do you ever wonder why? We're going to talk about that. And we're going to look at some real answers. We're going to find out why that happens to us. And I hope that when we finish today, you'll say, wow, I never saw that before. Or maybe there's some that says, yeah, I've seen that before. And maybe it will reconfirm some things in your life. Now let's all stand and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 15. We hear and we see here in the Bible, Timothy, the author, moved by the Spirit of God, and God inspiring His words, giving these words to Timothy, and he writes these words. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by Him at His will. Father, help us to understand May we see clearly this morning in these next few moments that we have. Help us to understand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many times I read verse 26 in my lifetime. Many, many, many times. But recently, reading that verse and those last verses, those last words, where we find these words, who are taken captive by Him at His will. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? Who is Timothy? Who is Paul writing to? Paul is writing to Timothy. And he's writing these words. Now, who are these people? Well, they're Christians. They're not unsaved people. These are people that have heard the truth. But these are people that have fallen away or fallen into sin. And the Bible says, who are taken captive by Him at His will. So that means, are you telling me that at any time Satan wants to, he can take me captive? I don't think exactly. Because we're going to look at another verse. Turn over to the book of Ephesians. If you've got a pencil and a piece of paper, please write these verses down. Because you're going to need to look at them a little bit later on. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. That word place is a military term. How many of you have been in the military? Raise your hand. Okay. That is a place of position. And he says, neither give place to the devil. That is a place of higher ground. We've all seen movies. We've all seen war movies. We've probably read in history books that if you have the higher ground, you have the advantage. I mean, the old Westerns, when they were up in the mountains and having battles and looking down, they always had an advantage. The military tells us that the higher ground has a 3-to-1 advantage over the enemy. There were great battles during the Vietnam War. Tremendous battles to gain a hill, to gain an advantage. Where you could overlook your enemy and see them coming and destroy them at will. And so that's what he's talking about here. Do not give place to the devil. Now, how many of us have given place to the devil? I have. I don't want to, and neither do you. You really don't want to. And our intentions, our motives, our desire is not to give Him place. Now, I know that after we've given Him place, we understand the direction that we're going, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and we know that we're giving place to Him. But I'm talking about a born-again believer, a Christian who knows God, who wants to serve God, who is pleased with God, and doesn't want the flesh to take over, but sometimes it just does. And it does because we've given place. We give the advantage to Satan. Now, what has God created all of us with? He's created us with a free will. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, Joshua said to the children of Israel, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And that choice was theirs. We're not Calvinistic. We're God has predestined all of us to either be saved or not saved, or to go through this problem or not go through this problem. Some of those that are hyper-Calvinists, they may say after they have a tremendous trial in their life, or they might be walking down the street and stumble and fall and bust their head, they'll say, wow, Lord, I'm glad that act is over with. That was all preordained and predestined. I don't think so. Because too many places in the Bible where it says choose you. It gives you that opportunity. God has created us with a free will. Now, just because you and I are saved, that doesn't mean that automatically we never have problem with the flesh, we never have problem with sin, and automatically we're just going to serve God the rest of our life and just have a wonderful time. That will happen one day when we get this new body. And we'll never have to worry about failing God. But you see, we still have that free will to choose to obey or disobey. And so when God has given us that higher ground, that place, that we can oversee the enemy, and who is our enemy? Satan is our enemy. The flesh is our enemy. Sin is our enemy. Disobedience, and I mean you can list a whole list of things that are an enemy to your Christian life and to your Christian walk. Parents, you look at some enemies that your children may have, some things that want to devour your children. It may be the wrong kind of music. That's an enemy. Your children may not see that as an enemy because your children have abandoned this place of safety and they've turned that place over to Satan and now they listen to that music. And what does that music do for them? It brings pleasure. They like that. But only for a short time, because the consequence of sin is what? Death and destruction and separation from God. And so what that means is we lose that fellowship, we lose that assurance. Have you ever seen anybody that was living and serving God with all of their heart and happy and joyful ever doubt their salvation? I never have doubted it one time when I was really serving God and living for Him. Have you? But I'm going to tell you, I've doubted my salvation when I was disobedient and I mean far away from Him. And then the fear creeps in and you think, wow, I wonder what happens if I die right now. You're not going to lose your salvation, but I'm going to tell you, the fear comes in, doesn't it? And so you've abandoned that higher ground, that advantage point. You've given your will over to Satan when we're to give our will to God and give our lives to Him and to serve Him with all of our hearts. Over in the book of John, chapter 8, turn with me, please. John, chapter 8, and verse 32, the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And so when we give ourselves over to Satan, when we give ourselves over to this flesh, then we've given up the advantage to see our enemies coming. And when we cannot see the enemy of God coming, then we fall into sin. Did that not happen to David when David sinned with Bathsheba? Now for you and I, we're looking back to the cross. For David, he has those, not all of the Old Testament scriptures, but he has Leviticus and he has the Pentateuch. And he even penned, being moved by God, those scriptures, those inspired scriptures. But David said in Psalm chapter 51, "Cleanse me from my sin." And he used that reference of hyssop. And hyssop was a bush that grew in rocky terrain, and it was, maybe where there was some moisture, there would be this bush that would grow and they would take that bush. And there was an application that they would use that bush with, maybe like a paintbrush or something like that. And I think there's about three times that we would see that bush being used to apply blood. One was at the Passover when Israel was leaving Egypt. Remember, they had to put the blood on the doorpost. And they would take that bush of hyssop and they would dip it into that blood and they would apply it. The other time was the cleansing of a leper. They would take two birds and they would shed the blood of one bird, and they would take that hyssop and they would dip it into that blood, and they would put it on that other bird, and then they would apply the blood to that other bird, and that bird would fly away. And that was a picture of the death and the resurrection. All of these were pictures of Christ's death and burial and resurrection. And then there was a time as the children of Israel would be traveling, if a man sinned, and I thought much about this as they were traveling along in their journey, and the tabernacle was all put up, and they were carrying that. And if a man sinned, how would he get forgiveness? Well, prior to that, they would kill a red heifer, and they would burn that red heifer, and they would put some hyssop into that and some other things, and they would make ashes out of that, and they would carry those ashes with them. And when a man sinned, I can imagine someone sinned a grievous sin that would come to Moses or come to Aaron and said, "I have sinned." And they would stop and they would take those ashes and they would mix water in that and they would mix it up and they would take that hyssop and they would sprinkle that over that person. You see, that hyssop was the application of that blood that Jesus shed. It was looking to the future. Now, they didn't understand all of that like you and I understand it, because we have all of the Scriptures. But David said, "Cleanse me." So you and I have been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And that blood has been applied to our sins, all of our sins. And now we have forgiveness. But as we walk this journey, as we walk this life, you and I find out that we sinned and we're disobedient to God, and we give over this territory, this place to God, not to God, but we give it over to Satan, this higher ground, and all of a sudden we have all of these problems, and we're like 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, who are taken captive by Him at His will. Is that not a picture of a lot of people today? Has it ever been a problem in your life? It has in my life. And I wasn't really even understanding why I couldn't overcome. I know that the Bible says if He is faithful and just, and if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins. And He's willing to do that. But I couldn't figure out why there were this constancy in my life that I just had these struggles to get over these things. And I think our churches today are being carried away captive because they've given up this special place, this special ground that they can overcome and see the enemy coming and destroy the enemy before the enemy ever gets to them. I don't know. How about your home? Have you given up some territory in your home that you just cannot overcome? And now Satan takes you as he pleases. You have a desire to serve God, but you have a desire to have devotions, but it just doesn't happen. You have a desire to read the Bible, but it just doesn't happen. You have a desire to pray, but it just doesn't happen. You have a desire to witness, but it just doesn't happen. You have a desire to have good thoughts and clean and pure thoughts, but it just doesn't happen. You have a desire not to gossip and talk about somebody else and trying to destroy somebody else so that you can lift yourself up higher than them, but it just doesn't happen. Teens, I have a desire to do right, but my mind just keeps falling back to these old ways. I thought about a fellow by the name of Stricker. I think his name is Stricker. He was a United States Army Ranger. And he was one of those characters, not the movie characters, one of the real characters of Black Hawk Down. He won Army Ranger of the Year in 1998. I heard him speak just probably about 6 weeks ago. What a tremendous, tremendous testimony. He's an army chaplain today. And he explained that it was an absolute miracle that twice he had to run in his Humvee to that area where that Black Hawk went down to take the wounded out. And he said it was an absolute miracle. With bullets and RPGs flying all over the place, there was absolutely, positively no way that they could get out. Oh, he had witnessed to his comrades prior to this, but they wouldn't listen. Oh, they're all macho. We are the way that we are because we exercise, we train. They didn't have much time for God. But when those men saw that miracle, how that God, somebody, something, delivered them out of the grasp of death, they lined up to talk to this man and said, "How did this happen?" God used that to put him back into the ministries, into the army as a chaplain. He was ready to get out and go into civilian life. And God said, "No, I want you here to be a witness for me to these soldiers." And today, he's an army chaplain. What a testimony. And people will listen to him. You see, Satan wants to devour us. And it may be this pride that we have, that maybe we've surrendered this humility. Maybe at one day we had this humble life and God was using us. But old pride crept in and we turned that over to Satan and we gave up that ground of defense. And now our lives are just consumed with pride. Maybe it's bitterness. I don't know what it is. I know the areas in my life. Because I have to examine my own life. And you'll have to examine your life. So church, if you're really going to expand and reach this world, and maybe you have no desire. Maybe you've given up the territory and you say, "Well, you know, we're just going to have to... We've surrendered. We've put up the white flag and we've just surrendered. It's just going to have... Preacher, it's just going to have to be another church. It's just not us." And you might say, "Well, I put up the white flag. It's not going to be me. It's just going to have to be somebody else. It's going to be the preacher and maybe a few others. I'm just not going to participate. I'm just not going to go. My life is too valuable. I'm going to spend my time making money. I'm going to spend my time to make all that I can for retirement." And then what? You're going to live a few years and you're going to die. And for what? At the airport in Bangkok, there were two elderly ladies sitting there, dressed in dresses, and I heard them speak and they spoke with a British accent. So I went over and sat next to them. Tried to listen in. And then I introduced myself to them. They were headed to Burma. And they said, "We're going to Burma." And I said, "You know, I am too." They said, "What are you going to do?" And I told them, I said, "I'm a missionary." You know what they did? They said, they looked at me and they said, they did this. "We're missionaries too." Because they knew that it was illegal for missionaries to go to Burma. They were at the end of their life. They had been sending money to Burma. They wanted to see the work that they had given all of this money to all of these years. Wow. What a blessing. Let's give our lives to Him. Amen. Father, thank You for the privilege that we have to serve You. Thank You for the joy and the peace that only You can give us. Father, the only way that we can take back that surrendered high ground is come before You and fall on our faces and say, "Oh God, I'm sorry. I gave that place up to the flesh and to Satan. I don't want to be carried away by Him. Please, God, give me that place back. Oh God, I know because of the blood of Christ that if we will humble ourselves and fall before You, that You will hear us and You will help us. God, may these hearers this morning, may all of us fall before You and say, God, help me restore that place of victory back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.